The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Now when Jesus heard about the beheading of John the Baptist, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came and said to him, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds, and all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I invite you to be seated. This story is typically called the miraculous feeding of the 5,000. And whereas miracles inspired trust and credibility in Jesus' era, in our era, they can do the opposite for many people. I think since the Enlightenment and the development and beginning of science, Christians have naturally struggled with miracle stories. Not all Christians, but some, a lot. I think that we want to pull the curtain back on the wizard, kind of like Toto in The Wizard of Oz, and see what's really going on here. Some tried to do this beginning in the 19th century. For example, for the feeding, they would say, you know, well, really what happened was that everybody had brought a little something with them. And once Jesus started sharing, everybody brought out their food and shared it. So the miracle really is about the fact that people share, which at some points, you know, in history does seem like a miraculous occurrence. And if you believe Jesus' purpose is to get you to change your behavior, that works. But this story really doesn't mention people's behavior at all, except for eating and being satisfied, filled. See, at heart, this story is not about miracles. It's about Jesus, who he is, and what he cares about, which is the same with or without the miracle. It's interesting to me that he challenges his newly called disciples to participate. His disciples say, "Hey, look, teacher, we've got a problem. Do something. Send them away to eat." And Jesus says, "You give them something to eat." In other words, you do something, disciples. They respond, "We got nothing but this paltry stuff here." And then they're also involved in serving the bread and cleaning up the bread and fish. And by the way, did you notice 12 baskets full? 12. Not a coincidence. 12 tribes of Israel and Jesus' corresponding 12 disciples. The disciples in this story are the church in every age. We are the disciples in this story, continuing the task of serving ministries and food ministries, because we also care that people are hungry. But the main way that we are the disciples is that we continue to trust that Jesus will provide, not as Santa Claus or as a magician to do our bidding, but as the one who really knows us, who knows our deepest needs and hungers, which are sometimes the opposite of what we think that we need. I mean, can't we all look back at times in life when we thought we knew what we needed and really didn't? We have nothing, they say. And nothing is one of the deepest fears of humanity. I've got nothing. Even I am nothing. I think that we humans spend a lot of time in life trying to escape that fear or prove it's wrong. Or in Isaiah's words, we spend money on that which is not bread and our labor on that which does not satisfy. And here we have Matthew this morning and a story before us of other people who were just as hungry and thirsty as us, as all humans, who chased Jesus down to a deserted place. And Matthew says that Jesus provides. To the sick and caretakers, Jesus provides healing and hope. To the crowds, he provides compassion. To the hungry, he provides real food. To the disciples, he provides instruction and revelation. Jesus, who was looking for time to be alone, hosts their every need, his compassion pointing towards his journey to the cross, upon which he will provide his very life for the life of a starving world. See, this miraculous feeding story transforms our nothing by Jesus' something. When we feel we're nothing, we don't have to try to prove that we're something or strive to be something. We can take our eyes off of ourselves and look at Jesus to see that he really is something. He who is compassionate and cares for the sick, who has all the time in the world for any who have need, that one calls you somebody, a daughter or son, very precious to God. And even when you forget that you're hungry, we all do, try to fill up on that which does not satisfy, in baptism, you were assured that his something is greater than your nothing. And today, all who hunger and thirst are called to share in the feast that does satisfy, satisfies our deepest needs. We're also fed by the same one who broke the bread in the deserted place 2,000 years ago. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, he will provide for you. He will satisfy. Let those who have ears hear.